But we have Aaron Colvin coming up at 9 a.m.
9 o'clock.
Very excited. I've got some calls in and some texts into some my spies in Jacksonville about Colvin. So I'm waiting on
you. Do have spies.
I'm digging up a little bit of information to spring on Colvin at 9 a.m.
Right now, your chance to win $1,000. The code word this hour is utter. U-T-T-E-R.
They're utter. Just like a cow's utter?
No.
Like what you would like get milk
uttering
out.
A
back
phrase.
In the day, Tom Green went down and like sucked milk out of a cow's
that
teat,
seems
which
like
is
a Tom
on
Green
the,
thing
on the udder.
So utter. U-T-T-E-R.
Oh, T-T. Okay.
To 72881 for your chance to win.
Not utter like with the teats, but the T-T. Utter with a T-T.
Exactly. Yeah, yes, okay. Yes. U-T-T.
A little double entendre. A little double T-T there.
To 72881. It is the March to $1,000 cash contest. Catch rule.
Are we allowed to say March Madness, or is that like Super Bowl? Is it trademarked and everything? Do you
honestly
have to be careful?
I have no idea.
I think we use, because like we're not allowed to use Super Bowl unless you're authorized to use it in advertisements and everything. But I feel like March Madness, they haven't done a good job of trademarking that.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't have a clue.
Okay.
There's something with that, but I don't know if it is March Madness. You might be right.
I'm gonna trademark my name before one of these other bastards gets to it.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Pain train.
All right, so they...
It's my daughter's roller derby name.
The NFL has the owners' meetings on Sunday. So when McClain joins us next Wednesday, he'll be in Orlando. So we look forward to however his phone connection is going to be.
That's great. So it'll be like, 15 sketchy minutes with McClain?
15 sketchy minutes with McClain.
Did you see what he did to me yesterday?
What did he do? He seemed happy.
People on Twitter were disappointed with me because they were asking me, like, what the hell, Seth? Were you just making up that anger with McClain? Like, is some WWE work? And I said, no, I was genuinely angry. The problem is that McClain is infuriatingly placid about these things in
but
these
that's
situations.
How he is.
And he started throwing compliments at me. Like, right out, he emptied the cartridge on me with niceness, and it was I had no defenses.
He said
against
you were
it.
The go-to guy.
Oh yeah, I know.
How much you were the guy that was the voice of the locker room.
Yeah, he's giving me like a bunch of non-backhanded compliments, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And he took me right down to the point where like he basically neutered me in front of everybody. And I was like, okay, John. And then, let's talk about Love You Blue for a while.
And then we learned that McClain did not know when the segments on the station ended. That would be like, what would that be like? Like if you're in an oil rig and you like hire some guy for a contract, he like doesn't know when.
Well,
when
no,
the
he
job
was.
Ends.
It sounds like he was misinformed by our boss.
I agree. Yeah.
According to McClain, I mean, McClain didn't come out and say it like this, but McClain blamed Ryan, our boss, for McClain not knowing when he was supposed to go.
Nah, I gotta
off air.
Defend the boss. I gotta defend the boss.
I'm not. All I'm saying. Don't look at me like you need to defend it. I'm just the messenger here, bro.
No, I know. I would be the first to say if the boss did anything because we like to bust the boss's coconuts a little bit. But you got to respect the show enough to know, regardless of what they tell you, you're not going to leave 4 minutes early because your damn segment
regardless
is
of
your
what,
time's up.
Regardless of what they tell you, from what I'm told, he was told that he was done at 10 of.
Now, there is a thing that, like, if you get up and walk off a show and then you look behind you and the show is still going on, that might be a clue.
He very passively aggressively did that.
Did he?
He very much was just... I'm not. Don't make anything of me. He was doing O'Brien
like Southern
Belle. Oh, don't make anything of me. I was just little old me. It was time for me to go. I had other obligations and appointments to get to. I did not even realize that I might have, that this was some transgression against you, good sir. In the future, I'll endeavor to do better. I swear it upon my life, Seth.
I miss the Southern Belle.
So, I don't want to do. From now on, Southern Belle will be John McClain, not Bill O'Brien.
Yes.
We'll wait and see.
Well, O'Brien got his guy as GM, so I think that's the case. O'Brien no longer is under the authoritarian dictatorship of Rich Smith.
I haven't... I do not appreciate the insinuations that I had anything to do with the ouster of Mr. Smith. Though Brian Gain and I have been friends for some time, I do not appreciate you implying that I engineered his arrival upon Houston's good front step as their general manager.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
So, owners' meetings in Orlando, they're going to try to fix the
Mr. McNair may have dispatched him up to Buffalo with the hated Yankees, but upon upon 9 fortnights times, I arranged for his return, and all is well now within the Confederacy.
9 fortnights sounds about right. All right, how do we fix the catch rule? So
We ain't going to do it. Bill Polian's going to do it. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm Bill down. Polian's got I didn't this. Realize this, but Bill Polian is on the case.
Well, you know my theory on this. You and I have debated this for a while. You are one of the few people who likes the way the NFL calls catches now.
I don't love it. I'm okay with it. You're but okay now with that it. I'm seeing the change coming, I'm actually okay with, I think, what's going
to
happen.
There's no perfect way to do this.
Yeah.
Well, let's get that straight.
Oh.
There's no perfect way to do this.
This was the most shocking thing I read in this ESPN story, where they kind of really broke down exactly what the changes to the catch rule might be. And for those of you that haven't seen it, the basic thing is going to be back to kind of the old standard of possess the ball, take a couple steps, make a move common to the game, whatever the hell that means. But I think they're going to do a better job of defining it. Let's remember,
that
used to be the problem with the catch rule, was nobody really knew exactly what a move common to the game was. And then they tried to refine it further with surviving the ground and everything. And that's where everything went all haywire. But this is the really important thing. And this is where I think some of these guys on the rules committee still don't quite get it, or some of these former officials still don't quite get it. Of all the plays, of all the passes in a football season, and you're talking, you know, 60-some% of the plays are pass plays. You got 120 plays per game times 16, all this.
Yep.
100 to 150 of them go to replay every year. That's it. 100 to 150 or so passes go to replay every year. And you end up with two or three controversial ones. And
now, the NFL got unlucky that in the 2017 season, the most important play of the season was exactly within those 100 or 150.
Yeah, but this is where I get nervous, because one of the officials here, Diopoulos, who I actually don't think is on the committee, but he was talking about this. He says this: you talk about the obvious calls. How many of the very obvious ones are they going to miss? He's arguing that they should just get rid of replay altogether when it comes to possession.
He likes the eye test.
And I said, well, this is the problem, though. This is where they just don't get it. And this is what happens when they debate it in the offseason, when there's not so much fervor over it. It's not a matter of the math making sense. The math tells you that this catch rule is working, because there are actually very few controversial calls and reversals. The problem is that the perception is reality in this instance, in that those few instances are such a big deal that they dominate conversation and affect people's emotions about the games and everything. So it's one of these rare situations where, like, no, being 99.9% accurate isn't good enough. It's just not. So they have to figure out a way to take those several plays and somehow make them more palatable. I mean, where at least if you feel like you were wronged, that you were wronged, like, in an acceptable fashion. And Bill O'Brien makes... he gets article. Quoted in this article, and it was that, you guys will remember the quote from a few, it was right towards the end of the season, right?
Because that's when the Jesse James play happened, Steelers.
Oh,
Patriots.
That's right. It was right after the Jets, and he was very careful about it, because he, you know, knows that you can't go too far out of your way and criticize
the
officials.
He basically said, if it's a catch in the backyard in high school and college, then all of a sudden you get to the NFL and it's not a catch. That's something we have to look at.
Yeah.
That there's a cognitive dissonance with what people are seeing. And they're like, they look at something like Jesse James and they're like, that's a catch.
There are too many instances, where people say, wait a second, but that's just a catch. Like, all right, I understand those. And that's where I'd gotten too rules oriented and too, like, too much like an accountant or something. No offense to accountants, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Where I'm taking something that's very visceral and turning it into, like, well, look, here's a 10-point checklist. Let's see if it was a catch or not.
Yes.
If there's a way that you can put it in the rule book and make it more just like, passes the eye test. Let's go.
Passes
for it.
The eye test, yeah. Yes.
Rockets hosting the Pistons tonight at the Toyota Center. 11 games remaining in the regular season. Magic number to clinch the number one seed in the West, 7. This will be the first time the Rockets see Blake Griffin since Tunnelgate in Los Angeles. Those of you not familiar with that situation, when Griffin was a member of the Clippers, there was an altercation on the court with Trevor Ariza. Then after the game, there was a report that many Rockets players tried to get into the Clippers locker room, which led to a classic exchange by the guys on the NBA and TNT.
They got a police presence? Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
Come on.
The issue, man.
No, the issue. Y'all gotta stop it, man.
They would relish.
I don't know. Hello, police. I don't know why. Hello, police. Chris Paul trying to beat me up. this is Blake Griffin. Chris Paul trying to get in the locker room. Get down here and save me. Wait. Yeah.
This is what I'm going to request out of the fine folks at the HPD. Without Blake Griffin's request tonight, I want you to send, like, a 10-person escort for him, Make it look like Blake Griffin has requested this ridiculous amount of security and support, and just keep him ensconced in security all night long. And that's all that anybody needs to see. ESPN, TNT will all grab it, and they'll see it, and there'll be all these stories about how Blake Griffin demands security because he's afraid of the Rockets. That's what we need.
Please remind me when we have Laurel D'Antoni on Monday that we need to, and I need to ask her about the about this whole fracas in
January.
Whether
she could take Blake Griffin?
We got to ask about that.
We don't even need to ask.
That would be the easiest headline.
I'm afraid if I ask her, she'll beat me up.
She might.
Yeah.
23 days until the NBA playoffs begin. 7 days until opening day for the Astros. Little news and notes from the Astros. Lance McCullers, who will join the show at 8 o'clock today for his weekly visit. He's coming off 5 1/3 scoreless innings yesterday in his Grapefruit League start. Josh Reddick had a 3-hit game yesterday. It's significant because it came against left-handed pitching. And 3 weeks after his surgery, Yuli Gurriel is doing baseball activities, fielding grounders, running the bases, and doing some light hitting.
Ham 8 bone.
Sounds like first bases between J.D. Davis and Tyler White. I guess Marwin will play there obviously a lot early in the season. But, I mean, what can you say? I mean, their pitching staff, the starting rotation has been excellent so far in spring training.
The thing that's amazing about it is that they last played on November 1st and went through the banquet circuit, the late night talk show circuit, all of that. And they come back in with less rest than 28 other teams in the league, and they just look like they're dialed in completely.
Yep.
It's kind of freakish. It's freaking me out a little bit. We also, these extreme shifts that the Astros are tinkering with, too, freaking me out a little bit now, too. I'm turning into, like, old-school baseball purists. We're like, no, well, you shall not have four people in the outfield. This shall not stand. I have to ask Lance about this.
I got to see what it looks like. Yeah. I got to see what it looks like in the
regular season. I'll show you a screenshot, my friend.
Paul Gallant's going to join us at 920. Why? Because the NCAA tournament resumes today. You can hear all those games right here on Sports Radio 610.
We're bringing him in for the tournament?
No, we're just bringing him in because he's off because of the tournament.
Oh, all right.
Now
okay.
He's in because,
whoa. I thought we were
Paul
bringing
Gallant's
him in so we get in-depth tournament talk.
No, I'll just go ahead and leave. No, his show won't be on. We'll be having him on because the tournament will be playing during his normal time slot. The matchups in the South, you have Loyola versus Nevada, Kansas State versus Kentucky, and in the West, you have Gonzaga versus Florida State. And Texas A&M versus Michigan. I'm a little pissed off about that last one because last night as I was doing my show research, I saw that In the Loop had Mo Taylor on the show.
Yes.
And they have Mo Taylor on every week, and they always talk about college basketball. It seems like In the Loop has become the official college basketball talk of the station.
Agreed.
So I figured that since John Lopez is a Texas A&M alum and Mo Taylor is a Michigan alum, that maybe that would come up somewhere in the interview. So I went and listened to all 12 minutes of the interview, and it never came up because I was going to pull a cut. I was going to play it here. We were going to do some cross promotion, which we're supposed to do. But these guys forgot to even ask him a question about A&M and Michigan. So instead of playing that clip, I'm just going to play how our good buddy Cody Stutes introduced the interview. He hates when I do this, but because he didn't ask the relevant question yesterday, and he was sitting there online shopping during the interview. Here's how Cody Stutes introduced Mo Taylor yesterday.
So let's head to the Buyers of Barricades hotline. Over 10 years playing pro ball and spent quite a few of those with the Houston Rockets. We had the Buyers Barricades hotline where we find our guy, Mo Taylor. What's up, Mo?
What's wrong with that in a vacuum?
I like the intro. There's something that I enjoy about Cody's intros. Like,
yeah.
The inflection, like the way he slowly gets into it and then he really ramps up the name of the guest. Like if we were introducing, yes, it's like... Like, how would I do this with Aaron Colvin?
You know what
I'd be like,
to do?
Joining us now, a nickel cornerback who signed with the Texans about a week ago, Aaron Colvin!
Joining us now, he played for Bob Stoops at the University of Oklahoma. He played with Jalen Ramsey at Jacksonville, the AFC champions. Aaron Colvin, how you living?
They should have him do the Rockets intros tonight. And when they introduce Detroit, they can say, here now we have a player notorious for picking on the elderly and equipment managers, Blake Griffin. Okay. Three-man rotation. We have three-man melee between Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Blake Griffin. Does Blake Griffin even walk out?
Blake Griffin might lose.
Blake Griffin might lose. He wouldn't lose. At least one of those guys would kick his ass.
All right. Top of the hour. Are the Rockets the favorites to win the NBA championship? One of our favorites says, yes. Are we being too soft on the Texans offseason? coming up at 7:20. And Name That Scandal, in honor of all the games happening tonight, next on Mad Radio.
Oh,
speaking of games.
What? So, yeah, speaking of games, my friend SeatGeek, this is where you go. You can download it on your phone. You can do it real quick, like even before you leave for work this morning. Download the SeatGeek app to your phone. Then when the Rockets are here for the playoffs, you can get yourself some primo seats to playoff basketball and pay the right price, because SeatGeek color codes everything. You see exactly where you'll be sitting. It's so easy. It's so quick. You don't have to scan multiple sites. This is how Mike and I both do it when we want to get good seats. When, you know, Mike's bringing one of his many lady friends to the game, when I'm bringing my one faithful lady friend to the game, whatever it might be, my lady friend, just to be clear, Mike, I'm talking about my wife.
Your wife.
And so, like, I have no lady friends other than my wife.
By the way, a lot of home games.
Two taps on the phone, you use our code MADRADIO, and you get $20 off your first purchase.
Rockets have 5 home games upcoming here in the next week or so, so you can use the SeatGeek app. Also, as you know, opening day for the baseball team for the Astros is 1 week from today.
These are sporting events that are happening.
Yes, so simple to use. You guys get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do, download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code MADRADIO today. Promo code MADRADIO for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.